voice quietens down gently. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, actually. This morning, I want to, I suppose, challenge but encourage us this morning. So, first question is, are you content? If the answer is yes, are you the right sort of content? If the answer is no, why not? So we're going to, again, be working through Acts. So if you do have your Bibles, we'll go to Acts 20. So Steph didn't give me any particular passage to speak from, but just said something from Acts that's on my heart. So we'll also be looking at a bit of Philippians. But at this point in Acts, we're with Paul, and he is gathering together some church leaders from Ephesus, so a church he planted some years prior to this. So this was quite a few years into Paul's ministry, quite a few years after Pentecost. And we had been with Paul and Silas and Barnabas and various other characters. And at this point, Paul knows that he won't be seeing any of these people face-to-face again, so he calls the church elders, so probably lots of different church elders together, and he says a sort of a leaving sort of speech to him almost, that he won't be seeing them again. So this is, I think, is quite important in what he says to these guys. So we'll go from verse 17 of chapter 20 to 23. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So he speaks of impending persecution. He doesn't actually know what that's going to take. He just knows it's going to happen. He doesn't have, okay, you're going to this particular place and you're going to have to do this amount. He has no idea. It's quite a fearful situation he's in almost. But then what does he say in verse 24? "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So I want to break this verse down a little bit, because I think it's really, really important to what he's trying to say to start with. So, "but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself," is the first part. And then really important words, I think, is so that I may finish my race with joy. So the first thing I just want to draw out is we need this type of contentment if we're to finish our races. If we're going to keep going in our walk with God, if we want to get to the end, we need this sort of contentment that our life doesn't mean that much to us compared to the race that God has for us, compared to the ministry God has given us. That he is able to say that is so powerful, that the persecution that he knows is going to happen. Up to this point, he had already been in prison, I don't know how many times, and beaten. And all sorts of things have happened to him that I can only imagine. But he's still able to say, "These things do not move me." What a call this man had on his life. This is not Peter Williams' guide to contentment. Paul has found the secret to contentment here. And it's not valuing his life. He says in many of his letters about, he counts all things that he has gained as nothing, as rubbish compared to Christ. So the first thing is we need to learn this type of contentment if we're to run the race set before us. There's other examples we've seen so far in Acts with Peter and John in chapter 4, that they were warned, do not give credit, do not say the name of Jesus anymore, or you will be beaten again. And how did they respond? They responded, them and their companions, with a praise, a prayer towards God of praise. Paul and Silas singing hymns in the midst of their chains in jail. They didn't love their lives to death. This is how these men walked. And I think this is how Jesus wants us to walk, if you look at what he also said in the Gospels. We need to guard ourselves from the pattern of the world, because this is not how the world sells contentment. Contentment of the world is, maybe when I asked you, are you content? You maybe thought, okay, have I got enough? If someone was to ask me, are you content? I'd always think, well, what am I missing in life? Okay, I've got this, but I don't have this. The world offers comfort. The world offers consumption. A selfish pursuit of happiness is what the world offers, but that is not the way of the apostles. That's not the way that Jesus spoke to us. One of my favorite preachers was talking about joy for world missions recently, and he said various generations struggle and are tempted with different things. The young, it may be a political correctness in limiting what we can say. Maybe we're tempted not to say things out of political correctness. Another older generation is perhaps, it is the comfort, it is consumption, it is wanting more, always having the next thing. And for the older generation is perhaps the comfort and luxury of just staying put. Have you ever seen those preachers on TV and things that talk about how they have enough money to go anywhere at any time to do any sort of ministry because they own various private jets? The Apostle Paul didn't own any of the ships he went on. God supplied his need, not his ownership of boats, although Christians can still own boats. The second thing was, I want to draw it, is the pattern that Paul set was not a kind of inward journey towards contentment, but an outward mission to reach the lost and build up believers. This contentment that I'm speaking of is not for your own gain or for your own inward journey, the contentment on your own little isolated island. But Paul talks about, then later on, about how he has set a pattern for these church leaders to build up and to guard against things that are to come. If we want to jump ahead then to verse, we'll go from verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend to you God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for all those who were with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So he has shown the pattern. He showed the church leaders in not seeking the world's contentment, how to live, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And also an encouragement for Paul in his letters to another church he had planted in Philippi or the Philippians. He says, I do not speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So he speaks of a learning, which I think is really important and really encouraging, that Paul didn't just arrive. I think this was a process that he went through learning. He probably learned the hard way, and that he was thrown into prison. And he was either going to fall into despair or learn to be abased, to be hungry, learn how to be content in all these situations. That this is an encouragement for us, that it is a learning process that all of us are in at different stages. But I think it's a calling for us, if we want to, as we've been going through Acts, this mission requires a certain amount of ability to be content in all situations, and a biblical contentment. And just after this, he says, just after that bit I read out, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this is a very famous passage, but I think it's talking directly about what he's just spoken about. It's about this contentment that whatever situation he's in, he is able to be content. Not the world content of all the things. He's not content because he has enough material goods so he can see out his ministry. But Christ gives him all strength that in those places of loneliness, he is still able to be content. Again, coming back to Jesus, if you look up the word worry in your concordance, as I did, it's always followed, in my case, it was always followed by two words, do not. And then it referenced the bit in where Jesus spoke, do not worry. This is a commandment that we're told. This isn't just, okay, you're allowed to worry, you're allowed to be full of concern for things. This is a higher calling where we're not supposed to worry about our worldly situation, but we are to be content. And Paul didn't know where he was going, what persecutions were coming. He just knew they were coming. The third point I just want to bring out, this type of contentment isn't a worldly type of contentment or even a stoic contentment in the face of trouble. It is a supernatural joy in the Spirit. So this type of contentment isn't stoic. And what I mean by stoic is emotionless, and I am strong enough to overcome this type of persecution, this whatever is coming my way. I'm not going to let it take over my emotions. It is more than that. That is a worldly way of dealing with trials and tribulations. The way that the apostles dealt with it was with joy, was with the first fruit of the Spirit, that is joy. It is not a stoic lack of emotion, but it is saying, hold on, the Holy Spirit testifies in every place. The Holy Spirit has put me where I am, therefore I'm able to have joy. And there's so many times, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So this type of contentment isn't, again, like I say, stoic. And again, I just want to bring out from verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Joy is not thinking to ourselves, my life is so good. It is thinking to ourselves, my God is so great. Ask ourselves today, are we missing this joy? How much do we value earthly things versus the eternal? I look at Jesus' life as well and think, look at how much time he had spent in prayer. I read in a book once about prayer that Jesus spent so much time of his ministry in prayer, yet he didn't have any sins to confess like we do. He didn't have the same earthly concerns that we do, yet he spent so much time in prayer. It was almost a type of prayer that isn't just, forgive my sin, Lord, I'm sorry for doing this. It was a higher calling of being in God's presence. So I want to encourage us this morning that again, Paul goes on to speak about let me just find Philippians 4 again here. So that was from Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. And I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the overarching bit of Acts, how would you summarize Acts? I would summarize Acts as mission. I think Steph has spoken about that before. And that mission starts in Judea, And it's really been on my heart about this contentment. What am I missing in my own life about this mission? And I begin to wrestle with, perhaps I value too much of my own life. I value too much of what the world is tempting me into versus this mission. So I really want to encourage us this morning to learn this contentment, this biblical contentment, that some of us are going down the wrong way of how to be content. I was just thinking, you know, I have two kids at home. Contentment is a daily battle in more ways than one. And I really feel like this is such a key for us if we want to be in this mission field, because if we are to walk in the fruits of the spirit of joy, the world will see something different. The world will see, hold on, this isn't the way I see contentment, I see joy, I see happiness. Everywhere you look, there is a lack of contentment, but it's not because it's not being pursued. People are pursuing happiness, contentment all over the place. But that's not the type of contentment that Paul speaks about here. So just to summarize again, the three points. We need to learn this type of contentment if we're to run the race set before us. He says in verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Second one, the pattern that Paul set was not an inward journey to contentment, but an outward mission to reach the lost and build up believers. They didn't count their lives worth anything. They didn't count any ownership of anything as theirs. There's a pattern also of anything they owned, they brought to Jesus. They brought to the apostles' feet, sold it, and dispersed it. And we see in chapter 5 of what happens if we hold something back. What happens if we bring something that's not totally for God? And they were killed. It's almost hard to imagine if you heard that today in a church service that someone was bringing a gift, but it wasn't everything. They were holding something back. They said, this isn't God's, this is mine. It's such a warning to us. The pattern that Paul set was not an inward journey, but an outward mission to reach the lost. And Paul was on such a learning curve as well through this, learning to be content. We should be on the same journey. And the last one is, this type of contentment isn't a worldly type of contentment or even a stoic contentment in the face of trouble, but it's a supernatural joy in the spirit. And I feel like this joy, I don't fully understand it. It's a gift from God. It's a fruit of the spirit. But God says, if you ask, he will give. Amen.